Well, we're traveling through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We invite you to turn there. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. So let's all go this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 as we press on in our journey through the Word of God together. Ephesians chapter 6. I read the story of a man, I believe his name was pronounced Eames, Leroy Eames, and he was recounting, it's a story from a while back, but it kind of gets us thinking about this morning, and that is he was in the Marines, and he was in World War II, and he was part of a unit that their job was to attack and conquer the particular island over in the South Pacific and conquer the airstrip and everything there. And so he was in this armored personnel carrier. They were storming the beach, but it took a couple of artillery hits right to the broadside of it, and it became disabled. So they all bailed out of the vehicle and rushed up the shore and started rushing from foxhole to foxhole and hiding behind palm trees, anything they could find, until they finally got up to their position, and they're all hiding there in their foxholes. At that point, the sergeant began to make his way around to make sure they're all okay. That's the sergeant's job. It's me. Okay, Tom said it's me. So anyway, bump, bump. So the sergeant crawls over and he goes, "Hey, Eames, are you okay?" Eames goes, "I'm good, Sarge." Let's see what we got going on here. I'm bumping into something here. Hopefully it won't keep distracting you. "I'm okay, Sarge. I'm good to go." Well, the sergeant looked in at him and says, "Eames, where's your helmet?" Eames goes, he says he realized, he felt his head, and at that moment, right, "Oh, no." He goes, "I guess I left it back in the personnel carrier." And the sergeant looks some more and he goes, "Where's your utility belt, Eames?" "Utility belt carries your ammo and your knife and your canteen and all." He says, "I fell, that was gone too." He said, "I guess I left it back in the personnel carrier." I said, finally, the sergeant looked closer and he said, he looked at me with disgust and pity and said, "Matter of fact, Eames, where's your rifle?" And he looked and he goes, "Oh, man." It was at that moment I realized I'd been running from foxhole to foxhole, hiding behind these palm trees with no armor, no weapon, no nothing. He said, "I was out here dressed the same way as you might be dressed to go out to a soccer game or something." So we look at that and we say, poor, I don't know what he wound up doing. But you think of the poor guy in a battlefield and no armor, no protection. Well, you know where I'm going with this. Because unfortunately, that's exactly what a lot of Christians are like. You see, we're not in a playground. We're in a battleground, a battlefield. But thank God we're not left armorless. We're given that which will give us victory. Here in chapter 6, Paul is writing about that and making sure that we understand the battle we're in, but also how to have victory in it. Let's remind ourselves, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Not to fall, not to give ground, but to have victory. To stand is the call. Well, last week we looked at the first piece of the armor. This is interesting. Somehow it's in my... Is it just not screwed in tight enough? See if it's in. Sam's going to help me out here. Or he's going to totally sabotage me. I don't know. We'll give it a little more try, and not we'll go on to the podium mic. Thank you, sir. See, now if it goes bad, I can blame you. Sorry. Nah, thank you for coming to the rescue there. So last week we saw the first piece of armor is in verse 14. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." So last week we looked at the importance of and the role of knowing and standing in, utilizing, having on that piece of armor, God's word, God's truth. And that just begins there. None of this is random. It starts with the foundation of God's word. So we saw that. That was our first piece of armor. This week we now press on now to the second piece of armor in the same verse where he says, "having put on the breastplate of righteousness." It's a whole armor of God. Verses 11 and 13 talks about that. They all work in conjunction. It's not just the belt, as crucial that is. There's going to be more now. And this is the second one. So we got on our belt. Now we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what's that? What does that mean? What's it referring to? How does that protect us? What is it and how does it protect us? Well, that's our focus. That's our goal for the morning. I've called our time the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we come in here with much going on in our lives. We see much going on in this world. Things get crazy out there. But thank you. Thank you that in you we find truth. We have that refuge, that place. And we have the armor you provide us that we can stand. We can walk in victory. Lord, we all come in here with different things going on, different needs in our lives. But you know the core needs, the root things. Minister at that deep place in our lives, Lord, that we can indeed go out and live out the victory that you purchased. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14, the second part of it is our second piece of armor, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The first goal is try to understand what that's referring to, and then we'll talk about how we go about it and use it, how we have it on. But let's make sure we understand what this is speaking about. Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians, I have it up here on our screens, he wrote, "For he," that's God the Father, "made him," speaking about Jesus, "for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So where we're beginning this morning is speaking about this awesome transaction that takes place when a person receives Jesus as Savior. The awesome thing that happens in that is it's a transaction that it's the best deal you'll ever find. There's no other deal compared to this one. And it's this. When we receive Jesus, he takes and puts our sins to the Lord's account and puts his righteousness to our account. Think about that. Declared righteous. To be righteous is to have right standing with God. It's to walk in the will and the purpose and all of God. And that's accomplished not by our works, but the finished work of the cross. And we are declared righteous. He puts his righteousness to our account. To reinforce that, Philippians 3:8, Paul speaks about it in this way. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." I just want to gain Christ. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness," which is from the law, not from works, not from being good or something, "but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." The righteousness we need to be declared righteous, to have right standing with God, is not something we earn through following laws, rules, and regulations, but it's given to us. It's accounted to us. How? Through faith in Christ. Now, this is a key principle, a key important thing, how we get it when it comes to how we're going to apply it later. Romans 4:5, "But to him who does not work," meaning tries to work for forgiveness and all, I mean for righteousness, "but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." All of these verses point to the fact that we are declared righteous. Again, we have right standing with God. I can have fellowship with God. I'm forgiven by God. How? Through faith in Jesus. God puts his righteousness to your and my account, if you are indeed a believer. And that's our breastplate. That's the breastplate that we're going to be talking about here. This righteousness that comes not from it's not a self-righteousness. It's not an earned position. It's not being good enough or something like that. It won't work. Our works are like wax in this battle. You don't want to go against the enemy in your own works. Our works are like filthy rags. But thank God, we're given God's righteousness through faith in Jesus. So, first, we've established, hopefully, in this brief time we've had, that we have a declared righteousness. We've been declared right before God. He gave that to me and you when we received the work of the cross. But there's a second aspect to righteousness that also is part of our armor. The first part of righteousness, that part I just talked about, that's accounted to us by faith, that's often called imputed. That's the imputed righteousness. He imputes it, so what that means, he accounts it. He puts righteousness to our account. So that's the imputed righteousness. But there's a second part of it that is also that's termed the imparted part of righteousness. The believer has both an imputed, put to our account, but also an imparted righteousness. Pastor Chuck Smith declared, quote, righteousness here, speaking about this verse, is not moral integrity. It is not something that comes from anything you've done. This righteousness that protects us is the imputed and imparted righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to me by faith, end quote. So we have an imputed righteousness. Again, that's the righteousness that God puts to our account through faith in Christ. But also there's an imparted righteousness. And what that refers to is this. Imparted righteousness is when he works this righteousness in and through our lives. You see, once he comes in, once I'm his, he begins to empower us now to walk in that righteousness. It's not that I say, okay, thanks for saving me. Now I'll show you what a good deal you got, God. I'll go ahead and do it on myself. Thank you. No. But he begins to work that righteousness. He empowers me. He imparts that righteousness. He flows into my life, and I begin to live it out, is the idea here. So the Lord has sanctified us. In those big terms, I mean, he sets us apart for his use when you come to him. And then once he does that, he begins to work in us and through us this righteousness. He begins to change us. We make new choices. We don't have to go with sin any longer. That sin nature doesn't have to dominate any longer. He begins to work that righteousness through us. We begin to obey him rather than to rebel against him. Not to earn it, but because we have it. And it's going to look different. We're going to be different. Different choices and all. So we begin to live righteously. Again, not to earn salvation, but because we are saved and he is at the helm of our lives. So God imputes righteousness. He calls me right with him. And he imparts power into us, the power we need to walk in his will whenever something comes our way, when these attacks come our way. He imparts the power to us so we can have the victory. So that's the two types. That's the way this thing works. But how is that a breastplate? And why this whole analogy anyway? What's Paul doing? Remember, he sees a Roman soldier. He was a prisoner. He looks at their armor and he says, you know, they're spiritual equivalents. And he got to look at this breastplate they wore and he saw some applications to us. Why the breastplate analogy? Well, think about it. The breastplate, my understanding is, was something that the Roman soldiers wore that went from basically the neck down to about the mid-thigh level or so. Front and back, covered over to protect them from arrows and stuff that were thrown at them. What does a breastplate cover? Well, basically it covered the vital organs of the body in that area of our bodies. Things like the heart, the lungs, all the important organs that are in our abdomen and all. That's what was shielded, because you get struck in the heart, battle over. The Roman soldiers were protected for that purpose. So the idea is the breastplate protects the core, the heart, the center of the soldier. Because again, many vital organs are there. Well, those organs, of course, that idea has its equivalent when it comes to the emotional, spiritual realm. For example, when you say you love someone with all your heart, see, we use this today. When you say, I love you with all my heart, are you saying, I love you with that muscle that pumps blood all around? No. I doubt if your mate would say, oh, that's so romantic. Thank you for this picture of a heart. that, you know, a real heart. No, that's not the idea. We understand the heart is come to, we recognize that meaning is the seat of our emotions. So he said, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my feelings. We understand this. It's an analogy, if you will. The heart of who we are represents who we really are so often in our vernacular and the way we mean it. It's the place for my feelings, my emotions. It's the place, the seat of our will. So we say, I commit to you with all my heart. Or it might be referred to as a place of where we make our choices from that place of us. In a sense, it's the real us is the idea. When we speak of the heart and all, in the old days, they would talk about the bowels of mercy and all. They're just associating that whole realm of the body with equivalence in the spiritual, emotional realm. That's the idea. We need protection on these old hearts of ours, on these emotions of ours, on the center of our will, where we make our decisions. The real me, I need protection in those areas. That's what this is analogy is. That's what Paul's talking about in all of this. The enemy, of course, wants to attack our emotions. He wants to attack my choices. He wants to attack my will, my purpose. And so I need that. The enemy wants to attack our desires. He wants to stir up passions that will go nowhere good. He wants to have us have unholy desires. Again, that's what this is all representing. So it's important that we be on guard, that we have on our armor. And that armor, the protection in those areas, is called the breastplate of right standing with God. Our protection is right standing with God, what He has given to us and what He's working through us through the power that brings into our life. So, again, what's the breastplate of righteousness here? It's having a full assurance of our salvation. It's having, as knowing I have right standing with God that has nothing to do with my works. It's imputed, given, accounted to me. What's the breastplate of righteousness, the protection? It's a realization of our whole position and standing in Jesus. And standing there, not getting duped, pulled away from that position, so to speak. It's the imputed righteousness that's given to every person who's received Jesus for salvation, and it's the imparted righteousness as God imparts His power into us to help us live for Him. It has nothing to do with what we do on our own. It is not just being a good person or some sort of self-righteousness. That is not our protection. It's what He gives, what He's done and what He gives and what He's doing in us. How do we put it on? By complete, utter dependence upon, relying upon the Lord and what He says. Upon His righteousness that He has put to my and your account. We put it on by remembering and leaning on verses such as these. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Our hearts, remember, where we're being protected, we're not careful, the enemy can get us to doubt. The enemy wants to get us to condemn ourselves. You call yourself a Christian. Look what you did. You haven't grown at all this last year. You're such a failure. He doesn't love you anymore. You know that distance you've been feeling, that dry spell? It's because you haven't earned Him enough lately. And all those kind of things. But if we will rest in His, in this righteousness, in His Word, we can have confidence towards God when those attacks of doubt and all come along. But what if we do sin? Well, that's when the enemy loves to jump on, doesn't he? When we fail, the enemy really likes to, look at what you did. The enemy, first of all, wants to tell you no big deal. Go ahead, everybody else is doing it. And then you do it, and he jumps on and goes, look what you did. Now you've really blown it. The enemy loves to throw that at us. What do we do if we do sin? Because we do sin. Christians do sin. Well, thank God. And we looked at it this morning. Emily did such a great job talking about it. I'm just going to mention it again real quick. What if the enemy throws that dart of failure and sin at us? Well, part of that whole section, if we say that we have no sin, now this is to believers, they're already Christians, but Paul says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Well, then what do I do? The enemy's saying I'm blowing it and there's no hope and I can't have forgiveness or anything. Ah, but God says, come to me with it. Don't let it push you away. Come to me with it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. See the opposite there? You've sinned, fallen short. Go to him, and he cleanses away the unrighteousness. We get back into that right standing aspect again. Now, remembering all this, God puts this armor on in order. It's not random. The breastplate was anchored to the soldier's belt to keep it in place from riding up and all. Now, remember, his breastplate anchored to his belt. Our righteousness and its protection, the righteousness God has given us, is anchored in what? The belt of truth. Our standing with God isn't anchored in how I'm feeling today, if I've prayed enough all day or anything. It's anchored in his declarations, his truths. I have to go with his truth. That's our anchor. How am I going to know that God sees me with right standing, that he declares me righteous? By going to his word, by what he has said. Not my feelings, but what he said, what he has declared. The core idea in this is that you and I are righteous in Jesus. And because of that, nothing can separate us from him. You can't rely on feelings. We go at the fact of what he has declared by coming to that finished work of the cross. You can't go with feelings. How many here drove a car here today? You have a car. You brought your car here. How do you know that's your car? You might say, well, yeah, Pastor, it's really me and the bank. But you know what I mean. That's your car. At least you claim it's your car. So what if after service is over today, I walk out there with you and I go up to that car and I see you getting in and I say, what are you doing? And you say, well, I'm getting in my car. Well, if I said, well, that's not your car, that's my car. You'd look at the car, look at me and go, no, it's my car. No, that's my car. No, Pastor, that's my car. Don't you touch my car. Well, how are we going to settle this thing? Well, let's say we decide, okay, we'll call the police. We've got to get this thing settled. So you call the police out. They show up. They say, what's the beef? You say, well, that's my car, but he says it's his. I say, officer, he's wrong. That's my car. No, it's my car, my car. How's the officer going to settle the issue? Well, we know what he's going to do. He's going to say, well, which of you feels like it the most? Right? Well, officer, I really feel like that's my car. Must be his. He feels it. No, we laugh at that idea. But how often do you let feelings determine where you stand with God, where you're at with him, and how you're doing in this? What's the police officer going to do? They say, well, let me see the registration. Whose name is on the registration? Who's it on the pink slip? That's what's going to decide who it belongs to, not how you feel about it. Now, feelings are important. I hope you enjoy your car. You feel good about your car. But how you feel about it doesn't establish ownership. That's not the basis of it. It's whose name is on there. Have you received Jesus Christ as Savior? Then his name is on your registration, so to speak. You belong to him. And not because you feel good one day. Think about that. If it's by feelings, then tomorrow when you're not feeling great, oh man, maybe I'm not his anymore. Maybe I'm his, but he doesn't love me. Maybe there's no hope, no forgiveness. No, you go back to, no, this is the case. His name is on me and I'm his. And he said, I have right standing with him. Enemy, don't bother. Enemy, don't go there. Because you're a liar. And it's not about how I feel, not about how I'm doing. It's because of who I belong to. He says, when I made that transaction, he gave me right standing with him. Remember, the enemy can't take away our salvation once we're saved. He can't take you out of the camp of the Lord. Then why is he doing all this? Because he wants to rip off the fruit of that relationship. He wants to take away our hope, our peace, our joy. He wants to nullify your witness. He wants to do all those things. But we are accepted in the Beloved, Paul has told us. No one can pluck us out of the Lord's hand. And that's what we need to rest in, find comfort and strength, and that's part of this protection. But the enemy will try to get us to doubt our righteousness. The enemy tries to get us apart from the knowledge, separate from the knowledge of this righteousness that's been given to us by faith. He wants to make us think it's by works. He wants us to try to have a walk based on feelings, because he knows feelings go up and down. Therefore, one day you're feeling pretty good. I prayed this morning, had my devotional time. I didn't get mad at one person on the freeway today. I'm doing pretty good. But next day, none of that's happening. And we start thinking, oh, now he doesn't love me or something. And it gets weird. He wants us to attach it to our feelings. Again, there's a place for feeling in our relationship with the Lord, but that's not the basis for it. The enemy wants to get us to doubt our relationship with him. He wants us to think it's by works, not faith. He wants us to rip off assurance. He wants to do all those things. Why? Again, because that way he might condemn us when we fail. He wants to condemn us and rip us off. Our armor is to say, I know that I know. I'm going back to this. My name's on the roll. His name's on my registration. We've settled the issue. An enemy, you know, well, we just don't have anything to do with the enemy. We just get that armor on, and that attack won't find its place. Some Christians struggle with feeling worthy of the Lord. I'm not worthy of you loving me, Lord. I'm such a failure sometimes. I haven't grown hardly at all lately, or sometimes we out and out fail. We sin. Maybe this morning you're in one of those categories or something like that. You feel like this second-class Christian for some reason. You feel like you do struggle all the time, maybe in a dry season, I don't know. Again, so many just feel like, well, I'm not really worthy of his love, worthy of being forgiven, or something like that. If you're feeling that way today, you find yourself at any point feeling like that, well, I'm just not worthy of the Lord, and how could he ever love someone like me? I'm such a failure. How might this piece of armor be a defense against that? Now think about it. Don't answer out loud, but think about it. How might, if I'm thinking, well, I'm just not worthy of the Lord, look how I just don't seem to grow much, and I don't know, how might this armor be a defense? By this, it never was about your worth. It never was about your ability. It never was about your performance. So don't let the enemy turn it into that. Go right back to the basics that have always been true. It's by grace. It's his mercy. It's his love that brought you into the family. And that's always going to be the case. And yes, we want him to work in our lives and do those things, but that's not the basis for relationship. It's not about works. So be careful. It's always about God's love, his mercy, his grace in us. That's what started this whole thing between you and him, and that's what keeps, it still is about that. So don't buy into it when the enemy would want to try to get you to doubt. You know that old story. When the enemy knocks on the door, just say, Lord, would you get that? And let the Lord deal with the enemy. So the battle is, are we going to believe God's word or doubt God's word? What's the armor that God provides? to stand in His righteousness put to our account. To let the attacks of doubt and all be deflected by the righteousness that the Lord gives to us. Let me say this kind of in conclusion. I was thinking about this whole idea of a breastplate like the Roman soldiers would wear. And I got to think about the modern equivalent. I was watching a particular message one pastor gave, and he was talking about, and he actually had put on for demonstration's sake a vest, a bulletproof vest. Right when his sermon, he was wearing that, driving home that, we all need to have on this protective armor. Well, that got me to thinking, so I Googled bulletproof vest. And I started looking at, there's all these different types of vests you can buy, depending on what you want to be protected from. I was talking to Bruce, who plays in our worship team here. He's a San Diego policeman. And I was talking about that this morning about bulletproof vest, and he was confirming some of this and giving me some tidbits about it. And I found it kind of interesting. You may not, but the point hopefully will still be of importance to all of us. But again, you can get all these different kinds of vests. Well, I was reading about the different ones. And they come in different what you want to be protected from. For example, the typical vest a lot of police officers wear will stop the bullet from a handgun. And you can read about how it does that and all. But it won't stop it from a rifle. It won't, you know that same vest won't stop a knife attack? A knife will go right through it. But a bullet, a lead bullet from a handgun, it will stop. See, it depends. What do you want to be protected from? What's being thrown at you? Now, you can get a heavier piece like using the military. The military, they have heavier bulletproof vest, thicker, stronger, that will stop a rifle bullet. So you could have that if you wanted to be protected against that. There's the kind of armor, body armor that guys wear. You've seen them like these the bomb squads. They're like totally protected. They got the hat thing on and arms. If the bomb goes off, hopefully they'll... Keep in mind, by the way, they tell me the bulletproof vest, it'll stop the bullet, but you'll still feel like you've been hit by a bat. It'll knock you over and you'll have a definite reaction, but it stops the bullet. So there are ones that'll protect you from this and from that, different types, bombs and everything else. Kind of depends what you're after. God's armor will protect you from anything the enemy throws at you. You don't have to worry about, well, this protects doubt, but is it going to protect failure? Is it going to protect what that guy said and what they're doing over there? God's armor. By the way, Roman soldiers, contrary to what you might hear sometime, their breastplate, it was both sides. It protected there to there, both sides. Point being, no matter what the enemy might shoot at us, his armor is more than sufficient. Our part, got to put it on. Meaning, lean on it and live it out. It is settled. We are righteous in Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap up our time. Go out and have it on. Go out and live in the victory. Go out and live what God has declared about us. Right standing as He imputes righteousness and then He imparts it, empowers us to live it out. Sam, I did pretty good. Held in there pretty good. You might have got a new job working on it. Well, let's all stand. Are you in need of prayer this morning? There'll be prayer partners back in the far corner of the sanctuary, your left, my right. Maybe you recognize this morning that the enemy's been getting some darts through, that you need to go back and make sure you got that you understand. Maybe you haven't received Christ. Got to do that first. That's how you start this whole thing. But maybe you have, but you've been struggling with some things here. Feel like you're a failure or something. Go get some prayer. Get some encouragement. Just help, ask the Lord to help you apply all this and stand in it. Towards that end, let's pray. Father, thank you. In your great, great love, you have not left us defenseless, but instead give us armor, and not just any armor. Thank you. Father, you give us yours. It's the armor of God, able to withstand any attack the enemy might come up with. But Lord, again, we confess we're the weak link in this whole thing. Help us, Lord. Help us not go out of here in our wisdom, our thinking, our approaches, anything like that. But Lord, help us go out in your word. Help us go out in your righteousness. Indeed, in the whole armor, help us to know it, have it on, to live it out. And as we do, Lord, thank you for the victory. Bottom line, may you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul wraps up this letter, peace to the brethren, he says, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And next to the last verse of the book, he says that. But I just want to add, along with that, just this, may you go forth now. May you go forth standing in the armor God has given you. Amen.